Science news writer Rachel Zelkowitz is sitting in for David Grimm to talk about the latest science stories on Science Now. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Rob.
So what stories do you have for us today?
Well, we've got something for everyone today. We'll be looking at how combination therapy is extending the lives of HIV patients. Secondly, an animal that actually uses alcohol as a food source. And finally, we'll take a look at how Mount Everest is actually helping you breathe.
Well, let's start then with a drug combination that's helping people live longer. Is this a drug cocktail?
This is for HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. And the study itself is actually more of a comprehensive study. It's not the discovery of a new cocktail. But what it is looking at data from other cocktails and how it's extended the lives of patients with HIV. And we've known that some of them are working to various levels, but no one had taken a look at the whole slew of data. And so finally, we have a study that shows that HIV AIDS cocktail drugs are actually helping people live as much as 43 years after being diagnosed with HIV.
Well, I'm sure since drugs were first introduced, they've improved along the way. Has that been part of the study too?
Absolutely. When the first anti-HIV drugs came out, patients would have to take as many as several dozen pills at multiple times during the day for the treatment to be effective. Now they can get by with just taking one, two, or three pills once a day. It's a huge improvement in the lives of HIV patients.
Well, is this something that a person infected with HIV would have to take for his or her life every day?
Yes, absolutely. They're saying in the industry that HIV is shifting from being a death sentence to now a life sentence. And it is possible to shift the paradigm and have it be more of a chronic disease rather than immediately life-threatening as it was in the 1980s and 90s. But it does require constant, vigilant management of the disease. So taking your pills every single day, not missing any treatment options.
Does it matter when you start treatment?
Well, that's another thing that they're looking to try to figure out, because it does make a difference how far HIV has progressed in your body as to when the appropriate time is to start the cocktail. And obviously, the sooner the better before it has time to really wreak havoc on your system.
Well, from doses of drugs to treat HIV infections to doses of alcohol as a food source. What's the source of this alcohol?
The source of this alcohol is actually a Bertam palm, which is a plant indigenous to Malaysia. And scientists found that there are at least 6 or 7 species of animals in the Malaysian jungle that use it as a food source. And what's really interesting about the plant is that it has the highest concentration of alcohol of any natural food. Concentrations that would put me under the table.
Higher than beer, then?
About equivalent to beer or wine. But what they found was that at least one animal called the pentailed tree shrew actually can consume the equivalent of 9 small glasses of wine and alcohol in a 12-hour period.
Have researchers figured out how the animal is able to cope with that alcohol, or does it end up just sort of moving around drunk all the time?
No, that was one of the interesting things about the findings. The pentailed tree shrews actually have to climb the Bertam palms to reach the flowers, which have the alcoholic nectar. And the researchers said they observed no problems moving for the animal, so no signs of inebriation. They don't know yet how the animals managed to process the alcohol, but they suspect it has to be a more efficient way than you and I would process that amount of alcohol. Because from an evolutionary standpoint, it doesn't make sense for an animal to be inebriated, because that would make it much more easy for a predator to come along and snatch it up.
So the pentailed tree shrew perhaps co-evolved with this particular palm
tree.
That's
the thought process. They definitely have observed that the animals feeding off of the nectar helps the plant pollinate. So they're trying to determine now what sort of advantage the pentailed tree shrew obtains from having that amount of alcohol in their system.
What implications, if any, does this have for human alcohol consumption?
Well, it does have some. I mean, clearly from a small pentailed tree shrew, which is a small rat-like creature, to a human being, there's clearly a great deal of difference. But if you go far enough back on the evolutionary tree, the pentailed tree shrew is actually very similar to the first primate. And scientists are saying that this shows that there is an original association between alcohol and primates, which is contrary to what people had thought before, saying that alcoholism and alcohol abuse actually occurs because alcohol was introduced so recently in man's evolution that we haven't had time to evolve an appropriate response to it. This shows that, no, that's not true. Alcohol has been around for a very, very long time.
So would it be better then to use this rat-like creature, the tree shrew, as an alcoholic model rather than the rats that are currently being used?
Ideally, because it is naturally evolved to tolerate alcohol. However, you get into logistical problems. You can't always go to Malaysia to get a tree shrew for your alcoholism study. Lab rats are much more readily available.
Well, from the model of alcohol consumption in the lab to the model of how our atmosphere became rich in oxygen, what does Mount Everest have to do with how well we breathe?
A lot, actually. Researchers have determined that the same tectonic plate action that formed our mountains is actually what has caused the percentage of oxygen to increase from trace elements at the beginning of the planet's formation to the current 21% that we enjoy breathing today.
How so?
What they found is that when plates slammed together, they pushed up through the ground, and that's what's created our mountains. Over time, as wind and rain eroded the mountains, it brought minerals down to the seas, and that mineral became the food for tiny algae that were living there, who through photosynthesis created the oxygen that we know and love today.
Now the plates continue to move. Does this mean that over time that the oxygen percentage of our atmosphere will continue to increase?
Yes, the process is still ongoing, but it's a very, very slow process. For example, 40 million years ago, before the Himalayas formed, our oxygen levels were about 15% for the atmosphere. And over time, 40 million years worth of time, it's increased from 15% to 21%.
What are other researchers saying about this model of plate tectonics and its correlation with our percentage of oxygen in the atmosphere?
Well, so far, they've been very encouraged by the theory because they've been trying to determine where the oxygen came from. And this makes sense. They found correlations for 6 out of the 7 continents. And without this process, Earth may have had the same atmospheric conditions as Mars, which would not have been very conducive to life as we know it.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
So what other stories are you looking into for science now?
Well, we're looking into the genetics of schizophrenia and what exactly is causing it. And also a drug that seems to increase animals' ability to exercise for longer periods of time. So be sure to check out our website.
Science news writer Rachel Zelkowitz sitting in for David Graham with stories from Science's free online daily news site, Science Now. You can catch up on the latest science news at sciencenow.sciencemag.org.